Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Alameda. Appreciate you guys taking time out and try to cover this Raider team here. You know, around this time of the year, I really don't like to talk a whole lot to you guys because you guys love information and you know I'm not going to give it to you. I really want to, but the other 31 teams will have a field day, and I don't think I want to let that happen. But guys, with that being said, I'm here for you guys. Let's talk about this Raider team and where we going.
What kind of action are you getting from teams that want to move up? Are they ringing phone off the hook to see what it's going to take to get that pick?
Yeah. I will say this, you know, about action and how much. We just feeling around right now. There's nothing is concrete, but people are just peripheral conversations.
How do you weigh whether to take that pick at number three as opposed to trading it and maybe getting back in the second round?
You know what? It's whichever deal is going to help the Raiders the most. And if it's staying there and taking the pick, we'll weigh that versus what's on the floor, you know, what is being offered. And in some cases, the offer may be too, you know, too good to pass up. So, you know, that's going to depend. It really will.
Some teams use the chart of the value of the pick. Do you use that, or is it more just
Well, all the above. I mean, you go when you're making the trades. You defer to the chart, but really is what your gut telling you what you would take if you don't stay with that pick. So yes, it definitely is going to depends on who's there. We'll factor in major.
It's safe to say that you're not calling to see what you can get for the pick. Other teams are calling you.
Exactly. That's safe to say.
You hear about players moving up and down the draft board. How much of that is true? How much is that just media hype?
You know what? I would think most of it is media hype because some of the so-called insiders are talking to certain personnel people or coaches, and they get information, which a lot of times around it, about this time, it's not truthful information, so you got to take that with a grain of salt, and you know, you just stay true to what you have on your board, you know. And I'm sure every team is doing that.
Reggie, how much do you weigh that once you're on the clock, that maybe the good deals have dried up, or more teams will be more desperate as time ticks away?
Well, I'm not going to worry too much about it. You know, we're picking third, and when our time comes, we'll make the best decision for the Raiders. I'm not going to worry too much about what one and two are doing. Now, of course, they got the first and second choice, so we get the third choice. Now, who they like compared to who we like, nobody knows. But, we'll just sit there and wait and we're not going to worry about the other two.
Reggie, you obviously inherited a team. A lot of players have been cut. At what point does the roster begin to – is it fair to say it reflects your personality and your staff's personality or your philosophy when it comes to the team?
Well, the totality of it, I don't – you know, that's going to be ongoing. But it started, you know, when I got here, to be honest with you. What I had to do with the roster. So when do you see it start its transformation? Hopefully this season. That's my hope. So you got a good off season and another draft, and things are coming in place. Got a new coaching staff as far as the four coaches that we swapped out. So, you know, hopefully it begins to show this year.
How do you balance the input from the scouts who have been following these guys for years, even probably for some of them, versus the coaches who are a little newer to this in terms of when they start following these college guys? How do you balance that?
Well, you take into account a whole lot of what the scouts tell you. That's the way I've been taught, and that's the way I believe is the right way to do it. You get the input from not only the coaches, but my in-house scouts also. And when you're talking about comparing and contrasting with our own personnel around the league, that's to determine the value of the player and what the player can and can't do in this league. So you value all information, but the information that the scouts give us, that information is vital.
You have your own scouting department in place now. Last year you came in with an existing scouting department,
right,
which had to be, you know, not ideal, but you made it work. But now you have, a first-round pick, you have your own scouts in place. What difference do you think that makes, and how much, when you have a guy like Sean Herrock next to you, who you worked with for 19 years,
mm-hmm.
and you guys talk about a single player and compare him to somebody else and immediately have a reference to what,
And that's what it is. It's a commonality of it. It's not who can do this and who can do that, because some of the guys were here last year. They were good. I mean, but it's the guys that I brought on board. There is a common denominator of we know each other, and we know what each other like. We know the players, the type of players that it would take to not only to win, but to produce at each position. So the conversations probably are quicker, and trying to get a feel for what Sean is explaining to me on a particular player. I kind of know the kind of player he likes. So from that standpoint, it's easier.
When you look at staying put or possibly trading down, how much do you weigh the need for an impact player? Obviously, I think you guys need an impact player. Would you agree with that?
I would think every team needs an impact player at some point. Yes, we are. We will. We do weigh the importance of trying to find an impact player. Absolutely. Well, the key is drafting the best player. I don't think you can't draft for need, especially in the first round. I think you draft the best player. You try to fill that need down the line. You can't do that.
When you draft the best player available, do you look at a player who's the best at one particular specific position, or with the roster being unsettled the way it is versatility play?
Well, versatility will, but if he's versatile and not great at anything, that versatility is average. You don't want that. I want to try to get somebody that can change the game. It's a difference maker. No matter what position, if he can make a difference, that's the one you want. Instead of a solid player, solid, versatile player versus a difference maker, you take the difference maker.
Reggie, you have to act like you're interested in every player for teams like in Geno Smith, a Jokel, or a Fisher if they fall to you. Is that sometimes hard to put on the hat that you want everybody
then? The poker face, huh? It is, because it's obvious that you like certain players more than others. You can go and ask every scout in the room, you probably get a favorite player that differs from the other. So, but that's the fun part of this job, is try to get all those opinions and come to a common goal to choose one, you know.
With all the changes on the roster, the well-publicized amount of dead money that you have under the cap, and there's a perception out there that this is almost an expansion team. I mean, is it realistic to think that this team could compete this year? And do sometimes the weighing against what you need to be competitive now, what you need to be competitive for in the future, do those things pull against each other?
I don't think so. I think we're trying to compete now. Now, how do that result? It's going to depend on the players' performance on the field. But we're trying to add players that can help this team win, help this team compete. We're going into this season to win ball games. You can call it expansion. I mean, it's a lot of different faces. I agree with that. But to say that we're just going to take our lumps and play ball, that's not the goal here. The goal here is to compete each and every week and win games. And we'll see how that goes from training camp on. But the start is now, and the moves that we had to make, we made them, and we will continue to make them through training camp.
The highest profile move, Reggie, is the new quarterback, Matt Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the presumptive starter? Is he the starter once OTAs begin? Where is that right now?
Well, as we begin the OTA period, we're going to begin with Matt Flynn. Now, the quarterbacks who would be on the roster from that point on, they will all compete. So, and like I said, guys, at every position, it's all about getting players that can play and competing.
What about Matt from your time in Green Bay? Makes you believe he obviously hasn't played a lot, but what from you learned with him in Green Bay?
Well, two things that I feel is important, and that's presence as far as leadership and knowing how to move a team down the field, and knowing how to do it. He has all the intangibles, and I think he can play the position. He can throw the ball, and I think he's going to be a solid quarterback. Now, how good can he be? We'll figure that out, you know. But I think he got a chance to be a good solid quarterback. You know, he hadn't played a lot of games, so that's what's ahead of him. To see how he plays, you know. So he'll get in here and compete and try to see if he can show his team and coaches if he can play. You know, the coaching staff don't really know him. I'm probably the guy who knows him best. So, and I feel good to know that he can play the position.
Almost a lot of people are. Both the players and some of the coaches are always talking about your vision, what your vision is for this team. Since you're from Green Bay, I was looked at their championship year team. I think it was almost entirely a homegrown team. Like 40 out of 53 guys, I think, had never played for another franchise. Is that what your vision is here eventually? Is that how you want to try and put together a team? Like, identifying the homegrown talent, developing it?
Absolutely. You know, when you get guys that play together for a while, that's when you develop not only a core, but you develop that chemistry at each and every position. And that's where that's how you win games in the fourth quarter. You overcome adversity, and that's, you know, that's how you become a champion. You know, in doing that, you have to draft well. You know, when you add certain players, they got to mesh. So, yes, you want to build a team that way.
So when you do have this ton of money under the salary cap next year, it would just be to pick and choose, Phil, I mean, as opposed to?
Yeah, I'm not going to Macy's. No, we'll be selective, and we'll try to continue to draft well and keep the players. You know, that's the key. You know, if you got the cap and all of that to re-sign your good players, that's what you want to do. And that's, we don't want to let our good players this year get out of the building.
Is this year a down year for quarterbacks in the draft, would you say? What's your take on the quarterback class this year?
Well, I don't see Andrew Luck and RG, or Russell, for that matter. I mean, you know, those guys were, you know, guys are beating up this class. You're going to get some good, solid quarterbacks in this class, and we can get spoiled by certain classes. I'm not the one to beat this one up. Because you're going to get – it's going to be some players that surprise you.
You have to evaluate defensive players differently now with the amount of teams that are running read options, spread-type offenses. Do you look for different attributes in defense players now than maybe you would have 5 or 6 years ago?
From the spread option standpoint?
Just in terms of being able to match up against a different type of offense.
Not necessarily those type offenses. Now, throwing the football, you're going to have to for these quarterbacks that can throw it, you're going to have to be okay from a defensive backfield standpoint. And from a nickel defense, rushing the passer, you got to make sure you perfect that game. You don't see as many power running teams that will run the ball consistently. So you're looking for some people that can help you in the passing game.
How about with the new rules about contact and, like, crown of the helmet and so forth? Does that cause you to evaluate, like, defensive backs differently in terms of maybe wanting more coverage guys instead of big hitters?
No, not really. It's you're talking with that rule change. It's not going to be, you know, you can teach these defensive backs how to tie. Not many of them try to spear guys, you know. So I think we're kind of overdoing it a little bit, you know. As a defensive player, I think those guys are going to learn how to run through them with their shoulder, and especially in the open field like that.
College players coming out, done in terms of their character and such, done the same way as you do with free agents. The free agent class that you've brought in seems to have, I mean, common thread. I mean, they almost all seem to be, you know, not a lot of drama to them, pretty serious about playing. You know, being that the college kids are younger, do they have more allowances if they have an issue in their past, or how do you evaluate?
I mean, guys, you know, we all have issues. You know, even the guys that we signed, we got some guys with issues. The deal is, you know, we want some guys that want to play for the Raiders. We want some guys that's going to work and that's going to do everything they can to be the best football player. So, you know, when you talk about football character, that's, you know, you show up on time and you work as hard as you can. And when it's time to leave the building, you know, you're gonna make sure that you're able to be back the next day, ready to go to work and trying to make this team a better team. And it's got to be about the team, you know. So we want guys that understand that, you know, from a smart, tough standpoint, that's what we want. We want some guys that are football players, you know, not so much wannabes. It's a whole lot of wannabes. They look the part and they think they the guy, but they're not willing to do the work. That's not going to help us win.
Are you going to be very aggressive for the undrafted free agents again, like find a guy like Streeter and cast that wide net, find a gem or two?
Oh, three. Yes.
There are a lot of talented guys in the draft. We have a lot, maybe more issues than other players do. Do you have the veteran guys here to take on some of those kind of guys who have a lot of off-field issues?
I think so. I think we got a couple. Yeah. Do we have the ideal group yet? Probably not. You know, because of the turnover, you still got guys trying to fill themselves, kind of fill their roles on the team now, and trying to figure out who the guy in the locker next to him. You know, but once that's all in place, yes, we feel like we got a handful of guys that can help that situation. Absolutely.
When you're picking third, there's only a few different ways it can go. So as you sit there now, if nobody comes in with a great trade offer, do you have a pretty good idea who your player is going to be?
Yes.
Just going into your second draft as a GM, what did you learn from your first year as the man who makes all the final decisions in the draft to change your approach this year?
Try to keep your first round pick. It'll be more fun on Thursday when you got one. You know, with the preparation part of it, you know, anytime when you're in the first year of something, when everything is new, you know, I'm trying to get a feel for all the scouts. I'm trying to get a feel for all the coaches and the system. I mean, it was trying to get a feel for everyone, even the players, the team, the status of the team, much better grasp of all of those going into this draft. So I feel much more at ease to where we are and who I have in that room feed me information.
How much more at ease did coaching in the Senior Bowl and being on the field at the Combine help?
A great deal. Great deal. Anytime you get to sit and have dinner with a group of players and watch them play video games and just listen to them fraternizing amongst each other, and you get to kid around with them, and you know their guard is down, you know, other than being in a combine setting when they know a million interviews are going on, they're going to be on their P's and Q's, and so not saying that they weren't on their P's and Q's at the Senior Bowl, but it's when they're around their teammates, it's, you can kind of see a little bit more of the real them. And I will do that again in the New York Minute if they ask me, but I don't wish to be coaching in the Senior Bowl much. The timing wouldn't be right.
Over your years in Sky, have you seen much change in the level of player coming out of the Ivy League? And it's a serious class. It seems like more players maybe lately have been coming out of there. Has there been a big difference?
From the Ivy League?
Yeah.
I think, you can not only pinpoint the Ivy League, but you talk about a couple of these conferences that have some players that's not normally the team that put a lot of players into the league. They go through spurts and have a couple. And this year is no different for the Ivy League. It should be a couple of guys drafted at least from there.
You know, to those of us watching from the outside, the draft often seems to move really slow. Does it go too fast for you guys sometimes on the inside? What's that like?
You know what? It really doesn't. Doesn't go too slow, but it's not too fast. The thing that goes fast is after the draft, the college free agency. That's a whirlwind now. But the draft, it's I like the process.
Even if they have like the 49ers have 13 picks,
right?
You don't think it'll go too fast for them?
No. It won't be. The thing is with those 13 picks is when you wheel and deal and try to move those picks around, and when you're doing a lot of things to whether you move that to 9 picks or you try to move it to some picks next year, however you try to do it, that's where it becomes fast. When decisions got to be made and stuff like that.
I figure a guy like Honey Badger has to be tough to evaluate because obviously he's a talented player but has some off-field issues.
Right.
At some point, do you let go with a gut feeling at the end of it after all the homework and research is done? Do you have to pretty much take a leap of faith and decide what you think?
Yeah. As far as him off the field, yeah. You just got to go with your gut, and right or wrong, you went with your gut, Not with all the, he said, she said stuff. You got all the information in front of you, and you interview him, you talk to him, and, you go with it. Yay or nay, whatever decision you make, that's your decision. Make it.
That's done a while back. That's not done like Thursday. That's done like probably weeks prior.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We have time for just one more question.
That was it.
Thank you.
Excellent.